Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Friday, November 8th edition of Money Matters, the program all about money, how we earn it, how we spend it, how we save it, and how we invest it. I'm Jeff Eisman, and today I'll be reading from a recent edition of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. The first article is just a brief one here, and it's playing to your sentiments about the passing of summer and moving into the cooler seasons. The headline reads, "It's not too late to get away and save. You can still find plenty of deals on fall vacations." Budget-minded travelers often plan their vacation months in advance so they can find the best deals. But if you're yearning for a last-minute early fall or late fall getaway, there's good news. Fuel prices are relatively low and you can find good deals on airfares as long as you know where to look. You have more options for places to stay, too. Kiplinger expects gas prices to run about the same as last fall, fluctuating between a national average price per gallon of $2.80 and $2.85 through the fall months and declining a bit after beginning of October. Wildcards in the forecast include a hurricane disrupting refineries on the Gulf Coast or OPEC and Russia failing to agree to maintain their current oil production quota. To plan your trip, budget for gas, and find current gas prices, you can always go to AAA's Triptych Travel Planner. That's at triptych.aaa.com. or the AAA mobile app, and they're both, of course, free. Despite the temporary grounding of Boeing 737 MAX planes, you can find deeply discounted airfares thanks to lower-cost jet fuel, says Tracy Stewart, content editor of air deal site airfarewatchdog.com. Stewart has seen round-trip fares from the U.S. to Barcelona as low as $280 and to China for less than $400. He doesn't think the recent closure of WOW Air, a budget airline based in Iceland, will have much impact because many of the cities it served here and abroad have low-cost alternatives beyond them. Don't rely solely on the big travel sites such as Expedia, Google Flights, Kayak, and Orbitz, though, to get the best deal. Airlines have enhanced their own websites and apps in an effort to sell directly to customers, says Brian Summers, senior aviation business editor at Skift.com, a travel industry news site. You also risk overlooking some good fares. Southwest lists only on its own site, and United Airlines has stopped doing business with Expedia, with the Expedia Group, since September. To get the best fare, sign up for fare alerts, compare prices on the search sites, and then book directly with the airline's websites. Be flexible on dates and destinations. Midweek flights can cost hundreds of dollars less than weekend flights. If you're flying to Europe, you could save money by focusing on getting across the ocean as cheaply as possible, say to London or Barcelona, then book a secondary flight on a budget regional carrier to your destination. Though you can find good deals on international airfares, you may get the best deals on lodging by staying closer to home. Lodging prices domestically are expected to rise by 2 to 2.5% from last year, says Henry Hartvelt, a travel industry analyst with Atmosphere Research Group. Global Business Travel Association and Carson Wagonlit Travel expect lodging prices in the Asia-Pacific region to rise by 5% and Western Europe by 5.6%. If you like the idea of staying in a home rather than a hotel, but want more amenities than the typical home sharing service offers, you have a new option. In April, Marriott launched Homes and Villas by Marriott International, with 2,000 premium and luxury homes in the Caribbean, Europe, Latin America, and the U.S. You book through Homes and Villas by Marriott.com. Marriott Bonvoy program members will earn points and can redeem them with that site, too. So, some suggestions for some of you longing for that last-minute or last-end-of-the-year type getaway. Okay, the next article is another short one. This one, actually two. The first one is headlined, "The Problem with Plus Loans. New student loan rates are lower, but parent loans are still no bargain. Interest rates on federal student loans are set to fall by more than half a percentage point this year for loans issued for the upcoming academic school year. But while that will offer modest relief to new borrowers, the rate on one of the fastest growing types of loans, Parent Plus, that's an acronym, PLUS, loans, remains well above rates on other types of loans. The rate on Plus loans issued on or after October 1st is 7.079%, compared with 4.529% for federal Stafford loans taken out by undergrads. That adds up. A $31,000 federal direct loan, the lifetime maximum most undergrads can borrow, paid off over 10 years, would cost about $38,600 with interest, while a Parent Plus loan for the same amount would cost more than $43,300. Plus loans appeal to a lot of parents because they're easy to qualify for and can cover the full cost of attendance. The government paid out $12.7 billion in Parent Plus loans over the 2017-2018 academic year, compared with $7.7 billion in 2007-2008, according to Mark Kantrowitz of SavingForCollege.com. In the 2017-2018 academic year, the average Plus loan balance was $35,600. A recent ARP survey found that nearly one-third of parents who had taken out a PLUS loan had difficulty making at least one payment over the course of 5 years. "We have a growing population of parents with tens of thousands of dollars in student loan debt," says Betsy Mayotti, president of the Institute of Student Loan Advisors. "At 45 or 55 years of age, your spending should be focused on retirement, not student loans. So what's a better strategy? Some parents want to help their children, but also avoid debt as well. But with such a wide disparity in interest rates, parents may be better off having their child take out a federal student loan and then helping them to pay it off. There are limits on how much a student can borrow each year in federal loans. For example, most freshmen can borrow no more than $5,500 in direct Stafford student loans. But if that's not enough to cover expenses, there are other options that cost less than the Parent Plus loans. Many schools offer interest-free tuition payment plans that stretch the length of a semester or school year. You might also be able to take out a home equity line of credit or a HELOC. The average rate on those loans, which is tied to the federal prime rate, is about 6.1%. If you have a good credit, you may find better rates through a private loan provider as well. The interest will most likely be a variable rate, meaning it could rise if overall interest rates move higher, but with a good credit score, you never know, you might have to work with the institution. So, sounds like the Parent Plus loans aren't really the bargain that maybe that many people thought they were. The second article shifts the focus a bit, and it's under the Social Security heading. Don't count on a big raise. An inflation rate of less than 2% may be good news for shoppers, but it's worrisome for seniors who rely on Social Security for a large part of their retirement income. The Senior Citizens League, an advocacy group, projects that the annual cost of living adjustment for benefits in 2020 will be just 1.7%, or about $24 a month for the average monthly payout of $1,420. The League's projections are based on the Consumer Price Index that was measured through April, says Mary Johnson, the organization's Social Security and Medicare policy analyst. The COLA could increase if higher tariffs on Chinese imports or a spike in gas prices drive up inflation, but Social Security will announce the official increase for 2020 soon. Some lawmakers and advocates for seniors want to tie the COLA to a seniors index that gives more weight to the cost of health care. One roadblock in the way of that change is Social Security's precarious financial condition. Social Security trustees project that its costs will exceed its income next year. That means the program will need to dip into its nearly $3 trillion, that's T, trillion, trust fund. If Congress doesn't act to shore up the fund, it will be depleted by 2035, forcing Social Security to reduce benefits to about 80% and eventually 75% of promised benefits. That's unlikely to happen, I think. Most politicians know that wouldn't be a very good thing to do. Okay, and the last article, at least from this edition, is Readers Write In section. It's the Ask Kip for Kiplinger section, where a reader writes in with a specific personal question that they have, looking for some advice, and then the magazine finds the correct answer for them. First, a question that's written in by J.N. of Alpharetta, Georgia. My mutual fund statement shows that I've lost money over the past 4 years, but the returns published by the fund firm show annualized gains. Why is my return different? The publicized annualized returns for your fund are time-weighted. They measure the annual rate of change in a fund's share price averaged over a specific period. A fund's 5-year annualized return as of June 30th of 2019, for instance, is the average annual growth rate of the fund's share price from June 30th of 2014 to June 30th of 2019. The total return you've earned in your fund is different from the fund's reported annualized return. That's because it's dollar weighted. It hinges on the amount you have put into the fund, when you put it in, and the price you paid for the shares. If, say, you invested a lump sum in the fund just as it hit a high mark for 4 years ago, your return would be less than the fund's reported annualized returns. Investor behavior often gets in the way of performance. Investors frequently buy high, chasing good returns in a fund, say, and sell low when the market gets rocky. Because timing the market correctly is nearly impossible, spreading out your investments at regular intervals rather than investing a lump sum all at once can lower the risk that you invest at the wrong time. The second question coming in is from R.W. of Lawrenceville, Georgia. My FICO credit score hovers between 825 and 830, but my new cellular provider reported that my score was 703. How can this be? The company might use a score specifically designed for the telecommunications industry. Telecom scores are different from credit scores, and 703 might be a really good score, says credit expert John Altheimer. Credit agency Experian, for instance, offers a score that ranges from 400 to 900 to companies involved in telecommunications. The standard FICO score ranges from 300 to 850. Telecom scores emphasize the customer's behavior on accounts with industry companies and weigh whether you even have telecom accounts. A telecom score would consider how you've managed telecom accounts more than how you've managed credit cards or auto loans, says Altheimer. So who knew that? Telecom scores. Next question comes from RWE of Pittsboro, North Carolina. Can you purchase Treasury securities for an IRA from the U.S. Treasury through Treasury Direct? If not, how can you add them to an IRA? You can't use TreasuryDirect.gov to buy Treasuries for an IRA, says Brad Benson of the Treasury Department's Bureau of the Fiscal Service. The site is designed to allow individuals to buy securities from the government and manage them through an account with the website, he says. But you can transfer securities purchased and held in a Treasury Direct account to an IRA or other account with a broker or bank. Check with your institution for details. Also, banks and brokerage companies can offer government securities to their IRA account holders. Check with the institution that holds your IRA to find out how you can buy Treasuries and if fees apply. Fidelity Investments, Charles Schwab, and Vanguard don't charge a transaction fee to IRA customers buying Treasuries online for their account. And the last question here is from KW of Woodstock, Virginia. Is there any way to avoid required minimum distributions from my Roth 401k? Yes, you can roll your Roth 401k balance tax-free into a Roth IRA, which doesn't have required distributions once you turn 70 and a half, as a Roth 401k does. You must complete the rollover before the year you turn 70 and a half to avoid an RMD, says Ed Slott, founder of IRAhelp.com. For example, if you turn 70 and a half in 2020, you would have to complete the rollover by the end of 2019. But if you're already 70 and a half, you'll have to take an RMD for the year and then roll over the balance to the Roth IRA to avoid future mandatory distributions. That's a new wrinkle. Okay, now that takes care of that. Now we'll move on to another edition of Kiplinger Personal Finance, a much more recent edition than that one was. And the first article is one that is a usual article that they run every so often. And the headline is, "The Best Bank for You." We've identified the banks and credit unions that offer the best combination of high rates, low fees, and a customer-friendly focus. It's an article by Miriam Cross and Lisa Gerstner of the Kiplinger staff. Think your bank could be a better fit? Just as styles change over time, so do bank accounts and services, and the features you use most often. To settle on the kind of bank that suits you now, ask yourself a few questions. Do you prefer to interact with tellers and advisors at a branch, or are you fine handling transactions with a computer or smartphone? Do you chase the best yields on deposit accounts, or do you prioritize features such as an extensive ATM network and access to wealth management services? Do you keep enough money deposited that you don't worry about meeting balance minimums, or are free no-minimum accounts a must for you? Once you've taken stock of your preferences, look over our list of banks that shine. With the help of Informa Financial Intelligence, we've crunched the data on interest rates, fees, minimum balance requirements, free perks, and other features for a variety of deposit accounts to see which banks rise to the top. Although big brick-and-mortar banks aren't known for offering high yields and low fees to lure customers, they are starting to reveal an appetite for competing with online institutions. Two of our top banks, Citibank and PNC, are now peddling high-rate savings accounts, recently yielding 2.36% and 2.35% respectively, all to customers outside their standard markets. In recent years, Chase and U.S. Bank have dropped fees to have money transferred to checking from a linked deposit account in case of an overdraft. TD Bank, our winner among national banks and for retirees, no longer charges a fee for transferring funds to another bank. Even next-day delivery is free. Although branches are becoming less numerous and physically smaller, banks are striving to push the ones they have left into the 21st century. Fifth Third Bank, for example, one of our regional bank winners, is redesigning branches with a more modern and friendly feel, featuring entryways with open spaces where clients meet with bankers. Capital One is making its banks inviting places to hang out with its cafes, where customers can buy a latte and connect to the bank's Wi-Fi. Here we've named the top institutions in four general categories: national banks, internet banks, credit unions, and regional banks, as well as the ones that are best for five customer profiles: high net worth families, retirees, frequent travelers, families with students, and those who want no fees or fuss. Pick one bank that checks all the boxes, or cobble together accounts from a few institutions for a tailor-made package. So, with all that given, here we go. Under the national banks, as was mentioned in the prelude there, the winner is TD Bank. Why it won? It offers low minimum accounts that should make almost any customer happy. The standout account for this bank is the Beyond Checking account, which serves up perks with wide appeal, and travelers may be especially pleased. Where is this located? More than 1,200 branches in 15 eastern and southern states, and Washington, D.C. as well, all extending from Maine to Florida. For the third year running, TD Bank tops our national ranking. Calling itself America's most convenient bank, TD opens most of its branches on Saturdays and Sundays, and it often keeps them open until 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. on weekdays. To make branch visits a little more pleasant, the bank provides customers with freebies such as pens, lollipops, and biscuits for their dogs, which are allowed to tag along. The Beyond Checking account waives the $25 monthly fee if you hold a reasonable $2,500 daily balance or meet other certain requirements. And there are perks which include free standard checks, money orders, cashier checks, and overdraft transfers. Plus, all ATM surcharges are reimbursed for both domestic and international transactions if you keep $2,500 in the account. One domestic or international outgoing wire transfer is free per statement cycle as well, and the bank charges no foreign transaction fee when you use your debit card abroad. And if you let TD cover the transaction in the event you overdraw your Beyond account, the bank will reimburse you for 2 overdraft fees per year. TD's basic convenience checking requires a low $100 minimum daily balance to waive a $15 monthly fee, and the account is free for customers ages 17 through 23. TD also has a strong checking account for those 60 and older. For more on it, as well as TD's other savings and wealth management options, we'll give more information in the retirees winner section. And the last of the accounts that they cite for TD Bank is the Preferred Savings. A $20,000 balance is needed to avoid the $15 fee per month. It offers 1.25% on $50,000 to $100,000 if you have a linked loan or active checking account. The runner-up under national banks is one that's a little closer to home, PNC Bank. Why it took this runner-up position? PNC has accounts that help you stick to the basics or integrate budgeting into banking. Their standout account is the Standard Checking, which offers free ATM usage up to certain limits, and it's easy to avoid minimum balance fees. Promotional CD rates, but you must for which you must have a linked checking account, recently included 2.25% on a 13-month term with a $25,000 minimum deposit. This, of course, PNC is located with 2,400 branches in 21 states, in the Midwest, the South, the Mid-Atlantic, and, of course, Washington, D.C. Their standard checking, which requires a minimum $500 average monthly balance or a $500 monthly direct deposit to avoid a $7 monthly fee, is free if you're 62 or older. It provides up to $5 monthly in refunds for out-of-network surcharges for ATM owners, plus reimbursement of 2 non-PNC ATM fees monthly. Performance and Performance Select checking accounts require larger minimums to waive the monthly fee, but come with higher ATM reimbursements and other perks, such as a free money market or savings account, free cashier's checks, and a safe deposit box discount. The virtual wallet system combines a primary spend checking account with an interest-bearing secondary reserve checking account, designed to set aside funds for near-term expenses, and then a growth savings account for longer-term goals. The program also includes digital tools such as one that categorizes your spending. And then lastly, the Premier Money Market account that they have is one where you can earn a decent yield on your money if you have Performance Select checking and meet certain activity requirements. For example, the rate was recently 1.65% on a balance of $50,000 to $100,000. PNC offers wealth management services, including retirement, tax and estate planning, and investment management as well. Its private client program comes with a relationship management team offering financial guidance, and you get priority customer service as well. Okay, now moving on to the internet banks. The winner here is Ally Bank. Why it won? Customers earn interest on their accounts without maintaining a particular balance or paying monthly fees. Their standout account is the interest checking. It's fee-free and pays 0.1% on sums below $15,000 or 0.6% on balances of $15,000 or more. Online savings pays a flat 2.2% on everything. Our online winner recently celebrated its 10th anniversary as Ally Bank, but its history stretches back to 1919 as the auto financing arm of General Motors. The J.D. Power study ranked Ally second in overall satisfaction, pointing to its competitive interest rates as one standout feature. Besides its free checking, savings, and money market deposit accounts, you can open a high-yield CD with any amount and rake in 2.55% for a one-year term or 2.85% for a five-year term. Alternatively, Ally offers an 11-month no-penalty CD, which pays up to 2.3%, depending on the size of your deposit. And they also have a raise-your-rate CD in 2- and 4-year terms. Ally Bank is also our no-fee, no-fuss winner. You won't pay a fee to withdraw cash at any Allpoint ATM in the U.S., and Ally will reimburse you up to $10 per month for fees triggered by other ATMs. Ally offers a multitude of ways to move your money into and out of your accounts at no cost, including expedited transfers, remote checking deposits, and the peer-to-peer payment system Zelle. Your debit card will fit into the digital wallets from Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Samsung. Well, that brings us to the end of our time this week. As usual, we thank you for listening. You can reach us here at WRRS with any comments or questions you might have. Our number is 513-487-4245. This has been Jeff Eisman for Money Matters. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.